You're listening to The Scene on Illinois Edition with me, Rachel Otwell, and...
Hey, it's me, Scott Fingold from the Illinois Times.
And a little announcement today.
Yeah, we do have a little announcement to make.
So today is the last official scene, right?
Right, last official edition of, or episode of the show, The Scene, which Rachel and I have been putting together for a little over 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And we're calling it.
It's been a great run. Mm-hmm. So we figured.
Yeah. Why sit and run out of gas in front of you people? You know, go out on a high note. You know, don't watch us become decrepit and
yes,
burnt out.
Exactly.
You know, we're still vibrant and excited. And so we figure we'll just leave on a positive note.
Right. That said, there's still lots of arts and culture to tell you about. Scott will be back to tell you about what he's covering, and there will be more artist interviews coming outside of the scene. So stick with Illinois Edition and NPR Illinois and Illinois Times for all your arts and culture needs. We're just decided it's time to start going about it a little differently.
So. Right, just a little mutation in approach.
So with that said, we're going to do a little rehash of those past
little bit of scene nostalgia.
Yeah. So the first thing we should probably revisit is the first big story we did, which was on Black Sheep turning 10 years old.
The Black Sheep, improbably and very excitingly, as a all-ages venue, it is definitely DIY material. And they've managed to, with that approach, they got to 10 years, and I think now they're up to 12. Oh. And so that's kind of a miraculous lifespan for such an endeavor. So here's a little excerpt from our adventures in that world.
Over near one of the parking lots, Bobby Marcos is unloading a trailer full of musical equipment.
I play in a band called Cloakroom. We're from Northwest Indiana. We played here at the Black Sheep Cafe February 23rd of last year, and we had a great time. And the owners graciously invited us back to be a part of their festival here, So we're very fortunate. There's a lot of good friends here, so.
And what kind of music do you do?
We draw from a lot of pools of influence. We like a lot of 90s stuff. We listen to a lot of Hum, a lot of Failure, Swerve Driver. For people unfamiliar with that sect, I would just say we sound like a slowed down version of Nirvana or something, Yeah.
And so how does this venue compare to places that you play otherwise?
This venue is one of my favorite venues to play simply because it was built from the ground up by people who love music. There really wasn't, you can tell there's a lot of heart here. You can tell that the people that put on shows here really care about it. And we played venues all over the world, and you have your good ones, you have your bad ones. A lot of the time you get mixed in with people that are just kind of going through the motions. And the two experiences we've had here, we've been welcomed with open arms, and people at Black Sheep Cafe really seem to care about the scene here. So it's very encouraging.
Marcos says it is venues like this that let musicians like him do what they love for a living. Claire Frechet has grown up in the scene. She's gone from an attendee to an organizer, artist, writer, gardener, and musician. She also helped form the Southtown nonprofit, which wants to archive hundreds of hours of video taken over the past 25 years at Skank Skates, which has hosted music shows as well as famous skateboarders like Tony Hawk. The nonprofit is also trying to coordinate volunteers who will help with community gardening and even beekeeping, something that takes place on the property.
The nonprofit is basically so that we can write grants to receive money that will help improve this general area and this neighborhood. It would be cool even if we could have goals such as opening a small grocery store or even just improving the spaces we have already started. So it would also ground us in the community in a more, I guess you could say, legal way, so that we're kind of giving back to Springfield, not just through the culture, but through other things.
I'm a late bloomer, assorted plant blossom, so dim, taking years to rise above this bed of dirt.
That was part of a story that we did for The Scene that explored 10 years of Black Sheep. We are going through the greatest hits today on the last episode of The Scene, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Still be hearing about arts and culture from me and Scott, just in different forms going ahead. One interview we did was with someone, I thought it was like kind of a cool full circle sort of thing to do. Somebody you definitely know a lot more about, though, Scott, Dave Adams. Tell us a little bit about him and we'll play a little bit of the interview we did with him.
Dave Adams is one of the founding fathers of independent music in Springfield. In about 1979 and until about 1982, he was in a band that played around town called Food and Money that was playing sort of alternative or punk or new wave music at that time. As far as I know, the first band with that style to play in Springfield. There's now been a long tradition of it. And he lives in California and has continued to make music. And he made his way here a couple of times and actually made a point of playing over at Dumb Records and because he wanted to play to not just sort of a nostalgia group of people his own age, but actually connect with younger people in an independent venue. So here's Dave Adams.
What we wanted to do was to take the very best of the things that we liked the most and simply play them. I mean, much in the same way that anybody in any band, you know, wants to represent the music that they love. Our earliest influences were, Gang of Four, Devo, Iggy, Ramones, Talking Heads, I suppose, Richard Hell, Sex Pistols, Vibrators, things like that. And so we just started out and decided we would start doing all of those songs, and that was the beginning of it.
Well, interesting you mentioned some of those influences, especially with the new wave and post-punk, being that Southtown these days is very inspired probably by some of the same stuff.
The rise of the phenomenon, which is the sort of Black Sheep Cafe Dumb Records center for music, I took a look at them. We're going to be playing there as well. That seemed to me to be just amazing that there was so much growth, that you would have a group in town who would be holding these festivals and have bands coming in from all around the nation to play in Springfield. I would imagine 30 years from now, if they were to take a look back at Springfield and say, you know, what was going on, that will be seen as a vital influence in terms of original music and the expression of new musical ideas in this town.
So that was Dave Adams, formerly of Food and Money, who was in town promoting his recent music. New development to look forward to this July 1st. The band Food and Money, which has not performed since 1982, has reformed and will be performing on July 1st at Black Sheep, along with other bands from an earlier era who haven't been heard from since then. So there's going to be a pretty interesting show happening there that's sort of skewing a little bit older. So look out for Food and Money on July 1st.
Another story or interview, at least, we got to do and leave the station for, which those were always my favorite times, was at the Kingsway restaurant, RIP. It has since...
Oh, it has closed?
Yeah.
I'm such an idiot.
We went and
it's all
ate.
My fault. I should have gone more.
Yeah, we all should have. It was delicious while it lasted. It was, what, African cuisine?
Mm-hmm.
I forget. Yeah, hailing from what countries exactly?
Yeah.
Western African?
Yeah, I think so.
But
it was
delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. And so we met Jahari, a poet in Springfield who went viral before, while our current president was campaigning and came through town. She was seen in the video of the rally. She was asked to be one of the people to sit behind him, so she was visible on all the cameras. And halfway through his speech, decided to pull out a book of poetry that happens to be Claudia Rankine's book, Citizen, which takes a look at modern day racism. So a lot of people saw that to be a subversive sort of protestation. And she was on all the major networks talking to people about it. So after the election, we caught up with her at this restaurant, sat down and talked about her experience and about what she's up to. And so here's the sounds of us chomping away at our lunch while we talk to Jahari.
I think as an artist in general, like any artist is, I think our job is social commentary on our culture. We can elevate it or criticize it, and use our talents to engage in change and make people react, force people to feel, especially in this time and age when people are trying to like maintain this fake sense of self in the technological age. And artists challenge that, and we want people to feel the range of emotion. And that's what I kind of wanted, that's what I do in my poetry. That's what I like to do in my poetry.
That was Jahari talking to us at Kingsway Restaurant. I actually called their number and somebody answered and said that the restaurant may actually reopen, but it would not likely be in the location that it was before. So anyway, keep an eye out for that.
One thing we happened to be around during was the studio show, which had two seasons. Arlen Peebles and Kyle Isham were the stars, the two co-hosts, although there were so many locally talented people who got involved, including Scott, acting in some of the shorts they did, and Dave Heinzel being the director.
And, of course, Emma Wilson, who did a lot of very creative had a lot of creative input in the second season.
There were a lot of people working on making that what a successful thing that it was, like wildly productive during their run. They're on to other things now, kind of like we're about to do,
mm-hmm.
Working on a movie, Dave and Emma are. So all that said, we were mm-hmm. there for the finale, and we took some time to talk to some of the people working on the studio show, and here's some of what they had to say.
The whole time with the studio show, with Loft Boys, we've always been interested in sort of a story and a narrative. You know, what are Kyle and I going through in the episode while we're also featuring Springfield Community? And so now we really feel like we've got everything's kind of aligned to make something new, something that's not a variety show or not public access geared, but a more of like a mini series, that follows a narrative through, and you get to learn about characters and see them evolve.
And maybe it could be on the Hallmark Channel. That's kind of our new aim.
We always set the bar
high. You gotta set it really high. Otherwise, why are you working? Why are you putting the energy in?
That was Kyle Isham and Arlen Peebles, who are the co-hosts of The Studio Show. They just wrapped up and just put out the finale for season 2. And as we heard, there are some new things in the works. So we'll now talk to Dave Heinzel.
Dave's the tech guy. He really shoots and edits everything. So there really wouldn't be a physical studio show to watch if it wasn't for him. And he spends many hours making it happen.
And so we sat down with him as well as Emma Wilson, who is a writer for the show, someone who got involved. Here is Dave and Emma.
I'm Dave Heinzel, executive producer of The Studio Show.
I'm Emma Wilson, Girl Friday of The Studio Show.
We have a very toxic relationship.
We do.
You should see the TOAM Facebook messages. Like, we'll be collaborating on Facebook through messages, and it's great and it's productive, and all of a sudden, everybody's feelings get hurt.
Emma, he's been kind of taking you under his wing or something.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Dave has just like an innate feel for this kind of stuff. And so I'm trying to be complimentary to you.
I know, I can't stand that.
Dave has got such an innate like knack for this. And I'm so thankful that he's been patient enough to work with me. And like, I don't know, just let me watch, because I've learned so much just by watching him.
That was us talking with some people behind the studio show at the studio show finale. This is the scene. We're going through some of our greatest hits as we say mm-hmm. goodbye as the scene for now, although you will certainly be hearing from us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun little outing we had was actually to the Black Sheep venue to talk to the Absurdist People's Theater. Mm-hmm. They were getting ready for a production, right, Scott?
So the Absurdist People's Theater debuted their first very, very ambitious performance of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf by Edward Albee. at the Black Sheep, in which they radically transformed visually. And even though that's a story about 60-year-old alcoholic burnouts, and they cast people who were barely in their 20s to play George and Martha, they managed to pull it off. It was amazing. And we talked to Alex, who was the primary mover of the Absurdist People Theater. So here's that.
Well, I am Alex Martin. I am the director, producer, slash founder, slash all of the things around getting this started and giving other people an opportunity to do theater, I guess. We are currently sitting on the Black Sheep stage. There is a lot of graffiti on the wall that adds to kind of this surrealism of this living room that's kind of being constructed as we speak around us on the stage. It's definitely a very close venue. The audience will be very, very face-to-face with the actors, and that will add kind of this uncomfortable, claustrophobic feel to the actual final production, as like you actually walk through the front door of the house to enter into the audience. So the audience is sitting in the living room. There's going to be a door in the archway there. It's going to be a very close kind of black box theater feel.
So why did you pick this production, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Why did you pick this play to be the first for Black Sheep to take on?
I first and foremost absolutely adore this play. But also, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf was one of the first culture wars on Broadway of the 1960s. It was like one of the first plays that kind of came out into the mainstream that questioned this 1950s optimism that was a ruling theme in Broadway at the time. So that whole that interruption and disturbance of like this piece, I felt like was a very telling theme of the Black Sheep, and how really interesting and cool new things are always happening here.
I'm Rachel Otwell, and that's it for The Scene. I've been joined over the past couple years by Scott Fingold of the Illinois Times, and we just want to say thanks so much for listening and coming along on these adventures with us. Our last song of the week is going to be the song Definition of Home by Looming, a band that came of age in the Southtown Black Sheep scene. And again, just thanks for listening.